issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you're with us. We're going to be joined here by Leo Holman for a few minutes, and then we're going to go to Israel, and we're going to talk to Dr. Rob Lindstedt. We're getting reports. Actually, it's kind of interesting because Dr. Rob Lindstedt is in Israel, and I'm the one that had to report to him this morning, this afternoon, that Israel has made a strike in Damascus. And it's very interesting what is not being reported in the media in Israel. Rob Lindstedt was telling me that. He's like, what? And then we began to talk about what's not being reported in the media in Israel right now. And, of course, the Israeli government is about to fall apart, and they're headed toward, it looks like, another election. And apparently nobody wants the current prime minister. Many people don't want the last prime minister, and no one seems to be stepping forward to take the position. Huh. Could this be setting, I'm just, you know, asking a question, no timetable here. But could this be the scenario, not maybe this exact scenario, but a scenario like this, where eventually a one-world leader steps forward? Kind of seems like we have the same issue when it comes to the Democrats. Have you noticed that right now, looking at polls, the Democrats don't want Joe Biden. They don't want Kamala. So they're like, we don't know who to run. The Israelis don't seem to know who to run. You know, maybe on the Republican side, I guess we have to look at some of the polls there, see what's going on there. But maybe overall, globally, everybody's sick and tired of the old, same old, same old, and the same leaders. I don't know. But that's the kind of global trend that's going to happen. And eventually, a leader will step forward and say, just give it all to me, and I'll bring peace. We'll end the wars and everything because we won't have governments fighting because there'll only be one government. Interesting how it's all setting up. But joining me now is Leo Holman. We've got to keep moving. We're on a tight schedule today. Leo, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Brannon.
Leo, you've got a brand new article out over at leoholman.com. Leoholman.com, local globalism, how cities are being used to create digital slaves to the coming beast system. You going to tell us about that before we play this video as well?
Yeah. Under the radar, so to speak, Brannon, a lot of cities are implementing very invasive surveillance technology where this will allow them to surveil and monitor their citizens 24/7 in real time. And a lot of it's being done by forcing the private sector, okay, private businesses, to install these surveillance cameras. And these are not your grandfather's surveillance cameras, okay? These are not like video tape that can be destroyed or whatever. It's uploaded to the cloud. It's stored there forever, and it watches you 24/7 if you live in one of these cities. And the city of Houston recently adopted an ordinance. This was the inspiration for the article because I think it's just one example of what's happening in all cities. Of
Reagan, you can
time.
Come back to us. All right, keep going, yeah. Leo.
Can you hear me?
Yep, keep going, sorry.
Yes, and so basically the city of Houston adopted an ordinance forcing certain private businesses to install these cameras and spy on their, not only on their customers, but everybody walking outside or walking on the sidewalk near these businesses. And it's going on not just in Houston, but in almost every major city across the United States. And it's an underreported story. Nobody's talking about it, but it's going to lead to a very pernicious 24/7 police state.
Wow. Well, that's very much what John Whitehead at the Rutherford Institute has been writing books about for, you know, a couple decades now. And I've been interviewing him more regularly for television, and we're headed for a police state, absolutely. And the sad thing is, your local police, those agencies, sadly, are being destroyed, and we saw police going around, and when you say police state, that doesn't mean just the police, obviously it means the whole state is a police state, but well, your local police will get involved in this, because that's who they're going to send after you, you know, to charge you, and local police who should disobey these orders, many of them are going to go along, unless you've got a constitutional sheriff.
Absolutely. And see, part of this ordinance is that once you install the cameras as a private business, you will then be forced to turn the footage from those cameras over to the local police.
And of course, once they federalize the police, then it's all a done deal.
Exactly. And then I go a step further in the article to talk about the agenda of the World Economic Forum, which does not stop with, okay, cameras on every street corner. It wants to actually put the surveillance devices on your person in the form of different, they call them wearables and even ingestibles. Okay, wearables like iPhone watches and things like that. Ingestibles, we heard Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, talking at Davos about how he wants to put these microchips in the medication, which would then feed back the information to the insurance companies to let them know if the patient is actually taking his medication as instructed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very pernicious. There is no end to it. They want to be able to monitor the human being. My previous article was about the kill phase, okay, Brandon, how they want to kill at least 50% of the population. The reason is they want to get that down to a more manageable population to where they can employ these very devious surveillance and monitoring programs.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Can we play the video now, guys, or should you just use the mic on the table? Okay, I'm going to play a video if you guys want to go to the video.
Yeah, let's say who this video, who this
is. Yeah, set it up. Set it up
video.
For us. Yeah, set it up.
This is Yuval Noah Harari, the chief consultant to the World Economic Forum, talking about the goals and agenda of the World Economic Forum to bring this surveillance that we're talking about, quote, under the skin. First, they want to put it on your person with the watches and the clothing. But eventually they wanted to even go a step further and embed it under your skin. And that's what he's talking about here. So let's roll it.
Oh, hang on. Why don't I have audio? Wait a minute. I know why. I got to unplug that. Hold on. Okay, now let's try it.
Data is not what you read and who you meet and what you buy. It's what's happening inside your body. So we had these two big revolutions, the computer science revolution or the infotech revolution, and the revolution in the biological sciences. And they are still separate, but they are about to merge. They are merging around, I would say, the biometric sensor. It's the thing, it's the gadget, it's the technology that converts biological data into digital data that can be analyzed by computers. And having the ability to really monitor people under the skin, this is the biggest game changer of all. Because this is the key for getting to know people better than they know themselves. I often give the example from my own personal life that I realized I was gay only when I was 21. And I keep thinking about the time when I was 15, 16, how could I have missed it? You know, something so important about myself should have been obvious, but I didn't know. Now, today, or in 5 or 10 years, any algorithm of Microsoft or Amazon or the government would be able to know such a thing when I'm 12 or 13, just by monitoring what's happening in my body, what's happening to my eyes when I, let's say, I see a boy and a girl walking on the beach. Where do my eyes focus? So this is the crucial revolution, and COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic...
These people are creepy.
There you go.
Aren't they creepy? They are so creepy, Leo.
Yes. What he's saying there, I hope through his thick accent that people could pick that up, that he only realized at age 21 that he was gay. He said that if he'd had these algorithms in the possession of the government or some other entity that would be able to analyze his every movement. For instance, how something simple like watching a man and a woman walk together down the beach and watching where his eyes focused, he would have been able to tell at age 12 that he was gay. The algorithms would have told him at age 12 that he was gay. This is what he wants. This is the type of world that this man And he's not just any man. He's the chief advisor to Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. This is what they want for us.
And we're about to get a report live from Israel by Dr. Rob Lindstedt. And this man is Jewish. He lives in Israel, does he not?
Yes, he's educated, born, raised, and educated in Israel, and he is a professor at Hebrew University in Jerusalem.
And the reason I bring that up is not to stoke anti-Semitism, because everyone knows I'm probably one of the most vocal proponents of defense of the Jewish people and state on conservative talk radio or TV. You will not find, I'm aware of, anyone else in my area of colleagues that has produced two conferences on Holocaust Horizon, warning about anti-Semitism, a national conference, two national conferences on it. So I don't say that to stoke anti-Semitism. And I know there will be a drastic rise, and already is, in anti-Semitism when you realize a lot of these folks doing these things are Jewish. They'll use that for anti-Semitism. But as we're going to hear from Dr. Rob Lindstedt in a minute, along with other reports, the Jewish state is helping to lead the way in the new world order. The Bible tells us they will do that, and they are the ones that will actually sign a treaty, an agreement with the one world leader. He'll tell them, go ahead, put up your temple. And of course, for the first 3.5 years, everything goes fine. And then, boom, he turns on them, and then he starts to speak words of blasphemy and set up an image of blasphemy in the temple. So are we shocked that the Jewish people have leaders like this going along with this, that they were the ones that were pushing the COVID so far and so fast? No, this is exactly what we would expect. We just have to understand it in context and not let it turn into anti-Semitism. But this guy, he's the one saying that not the God above the clouds, but the God in the clouds, the power elite, who will decide for us. You won't have free will any longer. And look at what he's saying here. The algorithm will tell you what your sexuality is. The algorithm will tell you what your sexuality is. So can you imagine all the confused young people that will be told by their government algorithm what their sexuality is? Leo?
Yeah, it is unbelievable. And he said that COVID was a key critical step in developing this type of Orwellian society, because it was the first time that we allowed the government to tell us what to put into our bodies and whether our bodies were fit or not fit to go out and move about in society. So he acknowledged that.
Wow. All right, leoholman.com, leoholman.com. And, of course, you go on to talk about 6G, and we're going to be doing some programmings on the 5G because, we're being told by some experts that this 5G can indeed be dangerous. I know that now the Department of Justice through the FBI is saying anyone that talks about 5G is a potential domestic terrorist. Did you see that bulletin?
No, I did not.
Yeah. So if one of the things you talk about is 5G and against it, you could be a domestic terrorist. But we're finding that there are some ill effects of the 5G when it gets turned up too high, according to these experts. But this is going to move on to 6G. Leo, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Brandon.
LeoHolman.com. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us, Worldview Radio. let's see, 7:30 p.m. Central Time by Skype. Okay. I'm just trying to finalize some of my guests for tonight, and it's just nonstop, folks. I mean, the news and what's going on. Here is an article. I'm going to go to it. Hold on a second, guys. I'm going to go to the article. This before we go to Rob Linstead. Okay, here we go. Let's go to this, guys. One of my listeners sent me this today. Upcoming city committee resolution to ban conversion therapy in La Crosse. That's La Crosse, Wisconsin. Has support of school district, YWCA, and others. All right. Now, I have, I think, been sent a copy of the actual resolution. But let me say, I'm not shocked that this is going to happen in La Crosse. We've been to La Crosse many, many times with our Worldview Weekend rallies. And the last one we were to have, that was April 2018, we were threatened by terroristic threats against the buildings, and the hotels started to collapse. You know, we're canceling your contract. We don't want you here, right? Well, one of the groups that was working hard to get rid of us was the city council there in La Crosse. They did a conference call with me that morning because we were renting a city building, and they had the mayor and city council and I think the chief of police. There was a bunch of them in the room, and they were talking to me. And they tried to pull a fast one, I think. Well, you don't have enough liability insurance. Really? We sent you the certificate. You wanted it. We sent it to you. And then now that we've got this controversy, now all of a sudden you want to try to play that game with us? So they were doing everything they could to try to walk the line. Oh, well, we're not trying to cancel you, but yeah, typical politicians. So instead of actually manning up, being, you know, great Americans that understand the dangers of Islam and Sharia, they were looking for a way, I believe, and those involved in the team to cancel us at the last minute by now throwing onto us, oh, you don't have enough insurance. Well, this wasn't a problem a month ago when we booked the building or whatever it was. So again, I think La Crosse, by and large, is probably a city run by a bunch of politically correct cowards. And if anyone's offended by that, then prove to me that you're not a politically correct coward by standing up against this. Because as this resolution reads, I understand, it is going to obviously be a problem for conservative Christians, pastors, Bible counselors, because apparently it is going to make illegal conversion therapy. Now, of course, the problem with so-called conversion therapy is how do you define it? And of course, they wanted to define it, oftentimes the liberals, while a pastor opening up the Bible and saying, thus saith the Lord. So let's watch what happens in La Crosse, Wisconsin. But no, I've already dealt with the leadership of La Crosse before. They don't tend to be, from my personal experience, a whole lot of them that have backbone. Maybe there's one or two of them in there that are good, strong, conservative patriots, maybe even Christians. If that's the case, we'd love to hear from them. But what I find in my personal dealings is they're a politically correct crowd. They're cowards. They don't have a backbone. And I'm not shocked to see them falling for this at all. And I would say, if I'm wrong, prove I'm wrong. Stand up and do not pass this resolution on banning conversion therapy. Joining me now from Israel is Dr. Rob Linstead. Dr. Rob, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure to be with you today.
So tell us before we get to what's going on in the news and whatnot, tell me what's going on in Israel. What are you doing there? What are your projects you're working on?
Well, I have a group of about 30 people here, and we're doing some typical sites, but we're also doing a couple of really neat things. One is we were just up on the Temple Mount a few hours ago, and hopefully we'll be able to come back and give you some information on what we were able to do. The Temple Mount was closed until early this morning, and we were among the first people back on it today, and we were able to do some shooting up there. I should say filming up there instead of using the word shooting. But we also went to another incredible site, and the Bible, many people are familiar with the word Shiloh, and it was important. Shechem and Shiloh, they were important because that's where Joseph's bones finally rested. And Shiloh, of course, is where the first temple was built. But what's interesting is that in that area, and Moses talked about it in Deuteronomy chapter 27, there was an amount of blessing, Gerizim, and there was an amount of cursing, and it's called Ebal, spelled E-B-A-L, but the B is pronounced V, Ebal, and in between those two, there's an altar, and they kind of gave up on this, and because it didn't fit the biblical description. Well, not too long ago, they dug down through the altar that was on top to the bottom one. It fits exactly the biblical description. And then they found a little lead tablet. They just read this thing. It was just announced, I'm going to say, 90 days ago or so. And they were actually doing the digs, sifting dirt and so on like that. But as they read this thing, what's incredible about it is that two times the name Yahweh is there. It would be the oldest written Yahweh that they've ever found and been able to verify. Why is this important? Because, you know, there are actually people that said Moses couldn't have written the first five books of the Bible because they weren't writing. And this would prove it wrong, totally wrong, because the date for the dig, even set by all universities, would put it so that any writing on this lead tablet would be an incredible proof of the Bible and that Moses did indeed write those first five books. Another story, part of the story, is out of Joshua chapter 8. And in between these two mountains, you know, when Joshua came in, Moses stayed on the other side of the Jordan River. I think he saw these two mountains, from Mount Nebo. But Joshua was the one that brought him in there. And he has the tribe stand. He separates them. Go to the Mount of Blessing. Go to the Mount of Cursing. There's an altar in between. And the tablet that has been read has these two names of Yahweh. And then it mentions the word curse 10 times, and that's found on this mountain of curse. And so this is just an incredible find to verify the Bible and to show why the altar is there and to show that it fits the biblical description. And it's turning the archaeological world upside down over here. So we've really enjoyed being a part of that, and we hope to have some of that footage uploaded to the Bible Truth and Prophecy Now link here in the next day or so.
Excellent, excellent. Now, tell me what tonight you hope to go up on the Temple Mount, correct?
Yes, mm-hmm. We do. Again, it's such a hot spot right now, and I think I had a collection of 7 or 8 articles all in the last 4 or 5 days where they report here's a clash of this people with a clash of that people, and they were Palestinians removing Jewish people going up for prayer. Isn't it amazing that Jewish people cannot go to the Temple Mount to pray? The Palestinians can, Muslims can. And so there was supposed to be a status quo. In other words, everyone could do their own prayers to whatever God they wanted to do the prayers to, should be open to all, but it hasn't worked that way. And Israel has really given in to some of the demands. Well, this has kind of hit a real uprising this week. And here's why I think it's important. I think that God's time clock is Israel. So much of what is future in terms of seeing the beginning of the tribulation, before the tribulation begins, here's the rapture of the church. These things are dependent, let's say, on Israel being back in the land and dependent on an Antichrist coming forward to put out a peace treaty that would be agreeable to people and would be accepted, and eventually he'll demand worship. So Israel's the hour hand. Jerusalem is the minute hand. The Bible, again, speaks in Zechariah chapter 12 and chapter 14 that Jerusalem is going to be this burdensome stone. Everyone's going to want it. That's what's taking place right now. Russia wants it. I mean, it's unbelievable, the demands being put on who should control Jerusalem. But I call the Temple Mount the second hand. And the Bible speaks so that when this Temple Mount becomes the focal point, that's when the action really takes place. That occurs in the midpoint of the tribulation. The Antichrist comes. He stops the sacrifice. They're going to start sacrifice. Today, not only do you go to the Temple Mount, we went to the Temple Institute. And there we see the presentation of all they've got ready to begin sacrifices again. There's actually people who have done some animal sacrifices, not official ones, but that's taking place. This is the big story. in Israel today. And so we were both in the Temple Institute where they were preparing for the sacrifices, getting everything ready. And we were on the Temple Mount watching the tension there. And we had a very calm time. We could film, but we went very early. And if we would have gone 24 hours earlier, we couldn't have got up there at all. So really an exciting day.
Wow. And what about the cutting of the stones for the temple? We've played the video of that on television and for radio here, those watching by TV. What are you hearing or what are you personally seeing in regards to them already starting to cut the stones for the temple?
Yes, there's two or three points on that. Number one, there are some who are cutting stones, but what I'm going to say this, they're probably practice in terms of what stones do we want to use. But I want to go a step further. I think the excitement of sacrificing is going to be so intense that once they have permission officially to go up there and begin to do animal sacrifices, I think they're not going to wait for stones to be cut. I think they're going to have the Tabernacle of David. I think it's a temporary building. And I think they're going to start it, even if it's a tent. Because remember, the first tabernacle was a tent. And it wasn't until they went to Shiloh that they actually had a building. And so I think they'll erect it very quickly. And I think it could even be the situation. That's when the Antichrist comes in and says, stop the sacrifice. Hosea chapter 3, it describes, it says there's going to be no sacrifice for many days. At the last day, they're going to begin that whole process. So I don't think we're dependent upon stones being cut, although I know there are plans to do that. And I actually have a friend of mine who is no longer allowed on the Temple Mount because every time he goes up there, he tries to bring a stone instead of a cornerstone. So that work is underfoot. But I think you're not going to stop them. Once they get to go ahead to begin to do sacrifices on the Temple Mount, they're going to begin. And the second thing that we're really excited is when they cremate a red heifer and the ashes can be used to purify the Sanhedrin first and then the priesthood, that will be the go signal. And they will say, we've got to start right now. And they're not going to wait for a building. That's their own idea. That's their own words. They're going to go whether they have a building or not, because it would be difficult to erect a building up there right now.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that when we come back from the break. Difficult to erect a building now, but what if that mosque were removed? And yet today, you can go to that article, guys. Alleged Israeli airstrike hits weapons factory near Damascus. So says the report. Five pro-Iranian militants, as well as a number of Iranian engineers, were reportedly killed in the strike. Now, what does the Bible say about Damascus being destroyed and never built on again? Now, why would you not build on something again? You would think it's because it was nuclear, wouldn't you? We'll ask Dr. Rob. But what if now you have a Damascus? They're in Syria, Iran. Turkey is engaging more now in there. What if there ends up being an airstrike that ends up a wayward missile or something that takes out that mosque by mistake? I don't know. I'm just asking questions. Let's talk to Dr. Rob about what it takes to get rid of that mosque and build the temple. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. You'll find all the latest TV shows and clips at wvwtv.com, wvwtv.com. Just heard from the freight shipping company. Big order of emergency supplies arriving Friday. Another order got put in yesterday, and we're getting ahead of the curve trying to keep up with the demand. But if you'd like to visit our store, we have a lot of resources there for you. It's a big part of our general operating budget to make all of this available that we do on our side. So if you'd like to visit our store, it's wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. And you'll also find all the information there about the Ozarks Conference coming up the middle of October. And again, we have a ton of speakers live in person. It sold out last year. It'll sell out this year. You definitely need to look at making your hotel resort reservations and use the code WRLD. The phone number for the resort is also on the general seating and party seating page. Just look for the link at the top of the page, general seating, party seating. And all the details would be there. October dates and all that is there. If you wanted to get tickets for the optional concert banquet on Thursday night, you can do that, as well as the optional foundation, WVW Foundation banquet on Saturday with Dr. Peter McCullough and others speaking. You can do that. All of that is at wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. My guest live from Israel is Dr. Rob Linstead. His website, by the way, is BibleTipNow.org. That stands for Bible Truth in Prophecy Now.org. So BibleTipNow.org. You can get a free booklet, What's Next? The Rapture of the Church. You can click there, get the free booklet. There are multiple free downloads there as well. You don't even have to wait to get something. You can just click it and download. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4 downloads right now that you can get right off the site, or by getting the new free booklet, What Next? On God's Calendar, and the Rapture of the Church, Dr. Rob Linstead. He'll be live with me tonight, and we're hoping from the top of the Temple Mount. We also will be joined by Michelle Malkin and some other guests as well. Dr. Linstead, we have an article here from the Jerusalem Post. Alleged Israeli airstrike hits weapons factory near Damascus. 5 pro-Iranian militants, as well as a number of Iranian engineers, were reportedly killed in the strike. What do you make of what it will take to allow the temple to be built? Do you think that, as they have in the United Arab Emirates, they're having a mosque, a temple, and a Christian church, so-called, do you think that kind of interfaith dialogue will allow for the building of the temple? Or do you think that mosque needs to go, and what could be the issue is some strike on Jerusalem that takes that mosque out, a wayward missile or something, and then all of a sudden, voila, you've got an opening for building the temple. What are your thoughts on this?
I think to destroy that mosque would start World War III. But what's interesting is the Bible mentions, I think, that very spot, that very piece of ground, in two places. One is in Ezekiel chapter 42, verse 20. And it talks about how to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place, or some translations say the commonplace or the profane place. And later in Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 44, and again, it's going to talk in verse 20, it says that they're going to see the difference. They're going to learn the difference between the holy and the profane, and causing them to do away with a clean thing. Now, that's in the millennium. But if you look at the Temple Mount, and if you line up the East Gate with a doorway that's in what we call the Rabbi's Tunnel, there's no doubt that really the Holy of Holies is north of the position held by the Dome of the Rock. And so God's Word says, measure off from it. In other words, we don't have to have that building destroyed to begin to worship up there. I think there would be such a conflict, because believe me when I tell you that the people going into the Dome of the Rock and the people going into Allah's Mosque, wow, their emotions are high. I can only imagine what would happen to those people whose emotions are high as they pray to Allah and carry on with their call to prayer. How would that work being next door to those, let's say, that are beginning to practice the Judaism ritual of sacrifice? It would be a total, complete disaster. Matter of fact, we're very fortunate today because how we did our filming, because a lot of times I've been run off of the Temple Mount as we filmed. I was asked to stop in a dedication. I dedicated a couple of my grandchildren up there on the area that I personally think is going to be the Holy of Holies. And so it's such a sensitive area. Now, what would happen if a missile went astray and hit that? Well, believe me, the situation we have right now in Syria is a great example of this. It's interesting because IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, they never comment when there's a destruction of something. And there's two charges just recently, since the weekend. One is that there's Israeli fighter jets actually fired, and of course they're bragging that most of the missiles were intercepted and so on. And then there's another report that out of the Golan Heights, there was a stationary missile launching system out of the Golan Heights, and IDF is not going to comment on that. They never do. I'm going to be honest with you. I think they might have. But it's interesting because the United Nations condemns Israel. Now, why would they do it? Well, here's what we know. After the dust settles, and even though they might have intercepted some of those missiles, there's no doubt that what was targeted was actually an Iranian weapons base. And so if I were Israel and they were building weapons right there on my doorstep to annihilate Israel, why not destroy those weapons bases? I applaud the fact that those weapon bases were destroyed, because all they're going to do is be used either against Israel or the United States.
Wow. So wouldn't it be interesting, though, if a missile from Iran or Turkey went astray, and so you have Islamists destroying the mosque? That would be hilarious.
It would be. But you know what? Just like the UN blames every situation on Israel, turns around and says how horrible Israel is for attacking Damascus, they would turn around and say it's Israel's fault.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Israel's fault. And the Bible is clear. Damascus is going to be destroyed. You know, we're looking at a passage that states that in the Bible. It's in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1. It's clear it's going to be destroyed. So sooner or later, we know the buildup there. And who's the main backers in Syria? There's two countries that are the main backers in terms of Syria. Syria is already a shell of a country. It's been hit so many times. It's a shell of a country. There's two things holding up. Number one, Iran is in Syria actually producing weapons. And number two, many of the Iranian weapon builders are being supported by Russia. Russia and Iran are the big supporters.
So when you talk about, as we were seeing on the Jerusalem Post, this strike on Damascus, if they're over there doing, say, five pro-Iranian militants, as well as a number of Iranian engineers reportedly killed, let's say they're got over there in Damascus, let's say they're working on biological chemicals. A great way to take all that out would be a nuclear strike, would it not, to make sure you just completely evaporate everything?
It sure would be a good way to take it out. And you know what? Whether it could be nuclear, it could be biological, it could just be total destruction. Because, you see, when they blow up these weapons factories, that explosion is huge because they have so many weapons there. And so the contamination of it, as well as the explosiveness of it, it's going to take out a big section of it. So there's going to be something that's going to cause it to be completely destroyed. It continually is the headquarters of going against Israel. And it's interesting because it's not just the Syrian people. Syria is a shell already. But it's the Iranians. It's the Russians. Why? That's their closest spot. That's their beachhead in trying to launch into Israel and to conquer Israel and to take a score, to take a great game.
Look at the screen here, guys. I'll read it for you guys. Isaiah chapter 17, a prophecy against Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. The city of Ar, I guess that's how you say it, will be deserted and left to the flocks, which will lie down with no one to make them afraid. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim and all royal power from Damascus. Obviously, if there's animals living in the area, I mean, I don't know what that tells us, but the Bible's clearly telling us that it's not going to be occupied by men, correct?
Yeah, I think it even indicates that even the animals are going to be rare there. And that passage, when you look at it, it's interesting because it says when that occurs, suddenly people are going to look at God and respect the fact they call him the Holy One of Israel. See, up until now, all they're trying to do is destroy anything associated with God. And if that's Israel, that's the United States, then they're going to try to destroy that too. That's their anger at God. And as a result of this being completely, totally destroyed, they're going to have to say, wow, this is what God said would happen. It's happening. And so it refers to him as the Holy One of Israel. It refers to him as the rock of the strength. It refers to him as the God of salvation. And so this is going to be a divine event where God is going to defend his sovereignty. And they can't continue to do what they're doing. Right now, it looks like Russia, Iran, it looks like they're getting by with everything. They can do whatever they want. And the United Nations, of all things, backs them and is afraid to condemn them. There's going to be a time when that's going to be turned around. God's going to judge these ungodly countries for their aggression. Think about what Russia is doing. It's horrible. And not just in one place. It's all over the world. But the thing that to me is so amazing is with all of these wars and rumors of wars, name one country that's really doing well. Every country is searching for meaning, for leadership, for direction. And no country even has leadership that's pointed in a direction that's wholesome and good. We're in a bad shape. And you know what? It's a perfect environment for welcoming an Antichrist.
Absolutely. I don't know if you're aware of this. This is happening while we're on the air. This is a new article because I monitored the Jerusalem Post. Netanyahu bloc would earn 60 seats in next elections, Khan poll. The parties in the current coalition would earn 54 seats, according to the poll. So the Likud party would earn 35 seats, and Yish Atid would earn 20 seats if elections were held today, according to the poll. What are your thoughts about...
No one has a majority. And so how they do their system over here is a number of people have these votes, and they have to pull, you know, three or four or five or six, parties together, entities together. And that gives them a majority finally to try to move forward. But right now, none of them are willing to work with each other. There's no clear leadership in Israel. There's no clear leadership in America. Matter of fact, where is there clear leadership? The only place would be a place like Russia where you have someone like Putin. And let me tell you this, the people of Russia don't like Putin any more than we like Putin.
1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. We'll be right back. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. My guest is Dr. Rob Lindstedt, live from Israel. His website, Bible Tip, stands for Truth in Prophecy, BibleTipNow.org, BibleTipNow.org. You get a free book there. You click on the new free booklet, What's Next on God's Calendar, The Rapture of the Church. It's a free book. And then there are numerous downloads. You don't even have to wait for it in the mail. Numerous downloads, a lot of videos, maps, other materials right there for you at BibleTipNow.org, BibleTipNow.org. All right, let's get ready to go to the phone lines. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Also, Dr. Lindstedt, I see where we have a Jewish gentleman being, Israel's ambassador to UN, elected vice president of UN General Assembly. Israel's ambassador to UN, elected vice president of UN General Assembly. That's really interesting because now we have UN blames Israel for conflict with Palestinians to probe discrimination. What's going on there?
Wow, you know, it's hard to figure out. Where's direction in the world? And the United Nations continues to condemn Israel. They talk about their horrible treatment of everybody. Israel is in the business of defending itself. I think they should be able to defend themselves. And yet, here's this Israeli who's elected vice president. It's going to be interesting to see if this will lessen the number of charges against him. A year ago, out of the, I think it was 18 or 19 nations that were reprimanded or the reprimands during that year, two-thirds of them were against Israel. That's just ludicrous when you look at the world with Putin in it, North Korea with the military regime and Burma. I mean, all over the world, we have these aggressive dictators who are slaughtering people, and Israel is two-thirds of the action of the United Nations. It's just mixed up and crazy.
Yeah. Look, let's go to the phone lines. But first, we have someone asking, does Russia know that it's in the Bible? Certainly, they must at least know that we think Russia's in the Bible. You think the Russian people are aware of this? Are the Russian leadership aware they're in the Bible?
Well, I don't think a common Russian person does know that. I remember several years ago when I was in Russia, and we were going down the Volga River, distributing Bibles and Bible courses and literature. And one of the interpreters, I said, let me show you this. And so I showed him the passage of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. And she was so happy. She said, look, we made the Bible. And not only was it Rosh, and of course the Hebrew Bible uses the word, R-O-S-H, and she was just delighted. And then she saw Meshach and Tubal. She said, that's our two capitals. And so she could identify that what the Bible was talking about was Russia, Moscow, and Tobolsk, the military capital of Russia, the political capital of Russia. I hated to tell her the rest of the story, but I had to, because the Bible predicts that it would be defeated. And so she had never heard that Russia was mentioned in the Bible as coming against Israel in the end day, and that 5/6 of the whole Russian army would be destroyed by the hand of God.
Wow. Let's go to the phone lines. Fred in Milwaukee, line 3. Fred, thanks for calling in, Fred.
Yes, today we're the temple of God, according to the Bible, that God circumcises our heart and washes us in his own blood and comes to dwell in us, and that if Israel would build a temple there and make sacrifices, it would be an insult to God the Father, and it would make Israel the Antichrist.
Okay, Rob, you want to respond to that?
Yes, I would. You know, let's look at the dwelling places of God, because if you start with the tabernacle as they cross the wilderness, And then you find here's a temple of God in Shiloh, and there was one by Zerubbabel, there was one by Herod, and there's going to be a new one in the millennial kingdom. And so I think in the church age, I'm a dispensationalist. I think that God deals with people in different dispensations in a certain way. And this man is right. Right now, the temple of God is the church of God. The true believers, God indwells us, and so we're his dwelling place. We're his tabernacle. But when the church is raptured, that's when this new temple will be built, and it will be a tribulation temple or tabernacle. And then there's going to be another one, a permanent location that's described in Ezekiel and Isaiah. And so that will be a millennial temple. So there's, you know what, there's seven of them. There's seven that I see. And each dispensation, there's a dwelling place of God. So to say that we're the temple of God right now is absolutely true. But when the church is raptured, now there's got to be a new dwelling place, and that new dwelling place will be, I believe, on the Temple Mount, and it will be a reconstructed tabernacle or temple, exactly as the Bible describes.
So let me ask you about that, though. Being that the Jews are in disbelief, will they have a Holy of Holies, and how would God interact with them in their disbelief? Would he even appear to them in the Holy of Holies and interact with them?
Yeah. I'm not saying that what they're going to do is true worship of God, because Hebrews tells us that he's instituted a better system. The better system, all those Old Testament things, they were systems to point to Christ. And Hebrews says that Christ is the new covenant. And so they're putting themselves back under the law. Putting themselves back under the law is not going to draw them any closer to God. You know, Jesus came to fulfill the law. And so I'm not suggesting that we go back to Judaism, but the Bible says that that's what they will do.
Right.
As they seek favor with God, only to have the Antichrist come and stop that. And in that persecution time, two-thirds of them will be cut off. One-third will remain. They're going to say, wow, we missed the Messiah. We missed Jesus because he came the first time as a suffering servant, as described in the book of Isaiah. And he'll come back as a conquering king at the end of the tribulation period of time.
Let's get Mary in here real quick. Mary, line one, go ahead, Mary.
There's something very significant that took place over a year ago. And I wrote down, I was keeping a journal on this, and it was when Pope Francis, regarding this is the false peace that will enter the world, Pope Francis made a very telling remark saying to the imam, a Muslim Islamic imam, that the peace treaty will need to have teeth. And I thought that was very significant because there are prophecies about the Antichrist being born with teeth in his mouth.
Interesting. Let me have Dr. Rob respond before we run out of time. Music's playing, but go, Dr. Rob.
Yes, I believe that we're seeing a religion trying to enter into the peace process. I don't trust it. A false peace is between, let's say, Chrislam, when we bring together a Jewish synagogue, a mosque, Catholic church.
Yes, we'll pick it up tonight. BibleTipNow.org. Talk to you guys later. Stay tuned for Crosstalk.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
You're watching Lindell TV.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Just like you, I had problems sleeping. I tried...
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. The first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else. Call or go to MyPillow.com right now to get your very own Giza Dream bed sheets. Use the promo code to save 50%, as low as $49.99 a set. That's 50% off at my lowest prices ever. I personally guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Okay, bring her up. There we go. It says Cleta.
Hey, Cleta.
Yes.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. Okay. It came back to me. Okay, we're good.
We're getting feedback here. Not feedback, just repeating. And we're here in inside studio. We hear.
Hey, Cleta, we're gonna play a cold open from Nicole Wallace. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. No, we're good there. So we're gonna.
It's gone. Let's roll.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm just running it. We're going with do the open and then the thing, or just straight.
Drop the open and go right to the thing.
Nicole Wallace clip. You got that? Yeah. It's clip 3, evening 6:06. Okay. So yeah, So don't even do the open. Just go straight to that, and then go to Steve, and then we'll.